Blog Talk Radio.
Calling in tonight, and thank you to our listeners as well. This is Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein, and I am one of your hosts, Kwajalein, and here's my husband.
What's going on?
Kenny. So again, we thank you all for joining us tonight. Tonight we're going to be continuing a topic that we spoke on Friday, talking about preparing for marriage. It's time to prepare. The formation of marriage was God's design to display his love and to be an example of his unity with the church. Oftentimes, people desire to be married. However, they are unaware of what marriage truly means. How do single people begin to prepare for marriage? Is it ever too early to prepare? Should singles change anything about their lives prior to marriage? How can people be prepared to have a successful marriage? So, again, thank you for joining us tonight. If you are listening, streaming, and you would like to call in, the number is 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. We would love to hear what you have to say. Okay, we're going to go ahead and just open the line to our callers, and then we'll start the discussion. Caller ending in 1398. Are you there?
Yes.
Hey, Miss Brenda, how you doing?
Hi, darling. How are you all? Hi,
doing
everybody.
Good.
Hey.
Doing good. Your line will be open if you have anything to say tonight on this topic. We would love to hear it.
All right. I'll just hang on and pitch in.
All right. Keisha, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How is everyone else tonight?
You're doing good. Doing good. Thank you for calling. And your line will be open if you have anything to say on the topic.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're going to go ahead and recap some of the things that we talked about last week for those that were not listening in. We're just going to do a quick recap. Last week we talked about the structure of the home, the roles, and we've talked about that before. But we know that God created marriage. And again, like I said last week, let me go ahead and put our disclaimer out there. This is a Christian-based show, so what we talk about here is according to the Word of God. So when we are speaking on marriage, we are relating it to a husband and a wife. Not bashing anyone. That is not what we're doing. This is what we believe, and this is the basis of our show. So we just wanted to go ahead and talk about that. Now, we know that God created marriage. In the Bible, he created Adam. He formed Adam, and then he created Eve and presented her unto Adam as a helpmeet. The husband was given the instructions to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, love his wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, to love his wife as his own body. So this is what the commandments, those are the commandments that God gave the husband. The husband is to be the protector. He's to be the provider. The wife has a very important role. She was placed there as a helpmeet for the husband. Now, does this mean that she does not have, her destiny is not important? No, that is not what that means. Does this mean that her visions and dreams are not important? No, her visions and dreams are important. Our visions, our destiny is important. All of that is important. We were placed there to be a helpmeet to our husbands, to help them reach their destiny. And as we help them reach our their destiny, then we will reach our destiny. Wives are to submit, according to Ephesians, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So the role of the wife in the home is, again, to be the helpmeet to her husband. Submit. We talked about submission last week. That does not mean that we are less than. We do not walk behind. That is not what that means. God has provided an order in the home. The husband is given the head. He's the head of the home. And then there is the wife. The husband is the covering of the home. And then there is the wife. And so, again, we're talking about these roles so that those who are waiting, who are preparing for marriage, before you go into your marriage, you will know what God's design is, what the roles are, because that is part of the problem, is that people are not aware of the correct roles of the home. And so we go into these marriages and we are not understanding what our role is. And I talked about the issue that I had when I got married with submission. I didn't understand what submission was, and so I was on the defense. I'm independent. I'm, you know, telling Kenny, I don't need you to do anything for me, and, you know, all of this type of stuff, because I was afraid of submission. But now I have an understanding of submission, and actually we submit one to another, and I understand now that submitting to my husband does not take away anything from me, because actually if he's in right standing with God, then that gives everything to me. So we have a couple of the callers on the line. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines. Shannon, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hey. Thank you for calling. And we are going to leave the line open, and we do want to congratulate Jerron on being accepted into what college is it again? Or fashion
school? It's FIDM, and that's Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising. That's what it is. And it's in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, congratulations, brother.
And he is a very, very talented young man. And for those who are listening, Shannon has set up a GoFundMe account. We will be sharing. I shared it on my personal page. We'll share it on Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein, also Heart to Inspire. So if you all can donate anything, even if it's as small as $20, anything, if we can get together and donate to try to help this young man to, you know, to live his dreams, because like I was telling my husband, I personally commend him because he is using the talents and gifts that God has given him, and he is allowing them to make room for him. And so I think that that's a great thing. So, you know, we just want to congratulate him and congratulate you, Mama. Hard work.
That's what I'm talking about, Mama.
Good work.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So your line will be open if you have anything to say tonight.
Okay. I don't have anything right now, but okay.
Okay. Mish, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Mish.
Hello.
How you doing?
What's up, Pastor?
What's up?
My day is good. How's my pastor doing?
We're doing good. Doing good. And we also would like to congratulate Gary, Mish's son, because he's getting ready to graduate. So these young, great things, very respectable young man. He used to always help me with my groceries and stuff when we were in Germany. He took care of me, Mish. He took care of me.
Yeah, he did. That's my boy. I'm so excited for him to get out of high school. I am.
So good job. Good job, Mom. Good job, Dad. You guys are doing great things.
We say thank you.
Hey, I got a question for you, Mish. Did he get the call he been looking for yet?
Yes, he did. His grandmother,
IDIA.
His grandmother purchased him a nice car. Yep. Purchased him a nice 2016 Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, All right now. All right.
Yeah, that's Granny's man right there.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, but it was for a job well done.
Good job.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Well, we say congratulations.
He's made us proud. He truly has.
Yeah.
Your line will be open, Mish. We're going to go ahead and continue with the topic. If you have anything to say, you know, you guys please jump on in. Babe, did you have anything?
All right.
Well, I just want to say good evening again to everybody, and, you know, thank you all for calling in and to our listeners listening over the Internet. We thank you also for, you know, taking time out of your busy schedule to just, you know, stop by and listen to what, you know, what everyone has to say, because the concept iron sharpens iron is true in this aspect, you know, because there are some things we may not think about or we may not have thought about that somebody might share with us on the line. So it's always good to get another nugget to put in the basket. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and continue. So we have an understanding of the roles of husband and the role of wife. So that, again, is something that we need to know when we are preparing to go into a marriage. There are some things that we talked about last week, setting boundaries. Even when we, you know, when people that are single are waiting to meet that person, or even if you're dating, it's good to go ahead and decide, you know, to set boundaries. If they're individual, you have individual goals or things that you will and will not deal with. If you're dating, you two go ahead and talk about things and begin to set boundaries, realistic boundaries, you know, expectations. When you are women, when you're talking about the man that you want, or men, when you're, you know, thinking about the woman that you want in your life, you know, list your expectations, but of course, we want them to be realistic again, because no relationship is perfect. And so we have to remember that we're dealing with two imperfect people. And so with two imperfect people, you're not going to have a perfect relationship. Know that even when you come into marriage, we have this concept of happy, you know, of marital bliss. Well, it's not always happy. You can be in love with someone and not feel in love with someone. You can love somebody and not feel in love with somebody. You do not feel in love every day. When we see couples, you know, they just look like they're always happy. You know, they may have been married for a while. You better believe they've been through some things. And so know that when you're preparing and you're getting into this relationship, it is a journey. It's a journey. Like last week, we talked about it's just like nurturing a baby. When a baby's born, you know, you gotta feed them. You gotta, you know, you have to do all these things. They go from the infant stage to the toddler stage, and so it is. You know, it's, your relationship is like, it's like nurturing a baby. It's not, you're just not gonna come in and it's just gonna be, oh, okay, we're this, we're that. And some people have that false perception, and then when problems start to come, then the first thing we think about is divorce. We do not want to go into our marriages thinking about, you know, being prepared for divorce. Well, you know, if it doesn't work out, then I'll just divorce them. Yes, there are some marriages that do have to end, that, you know, when you have abuse, you know, different things like that. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. But that's not the first thing that we want to think about. You know, we want to be willing to not just to realize that marriage is love, but it's also commitment. Did you have anything, babe, before I go any further?
Absolutely. I just want to caveat off of what you said about not going into the marriage or going into the commitment, which is first engaging. I'm sorry, I got lost words. But engagement, and then from the engagement, which you already have made a commitment into, you know, marriage. All right, but, you know, we all know that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. If we don't go in there planning, you know, and you know, men going in thinking, okay, what can I do to make my family better, or what can I do to make my wife better? I mean, because technically you're one. And I see a lot of people, you know, when me and my wife got married, you know, people had issues with, you know, me and her merging accounts. Don't go in there, you know, worried about, hey, you know, or don't go in there thinking about first thing you want to talk about is a prenuptial agreement. I mean, come on. It's really not. That's really not something, because basically what you're both doing is you're starting at ground zero and you're building up a foundation, you know, from that foundation. But you got to set the foundation first. And part of setting the foundation first is going in there thinking selflessly instead of selfishly. Going in and saying, you know, well, I'm going to keep my account, you know what I'm saying, because she's going to be tripping. She ain't going to spend all my money, or vice versa. You know, you go in there, and both of you should have something to bring to the table. And the first main cuisine that you should be bringing to the table to one another is love. You bring that in, and then from there, you go on into the marriage, and then you grow together. And you're growing together. We're talking mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, you know, from all aspects. Because most of the time, you know, well, I know coming up, my wife and I were very young when we got married, and Lord knows we caught a lot of critics, you know, that were saying some stuff. However, you know, it was nothing but the grace and mercy of God that has allowed for her and I to remain together as long as we have. You know, so my suggestion or my opinion is to basically make sure you're going in there prepared. And you're going in there with love on your heart, you know, instead of going in there thinking, yo, I'm going to need you to sign a date here on this prenuptial agreement. Because, you know, when I leave, I want to leave with my stuff. And you leave with your stuff. That's not the way to be.
But again, it's going in preparing for divorce, in my opinion. So we last week, my husband also touched on being friends first, you know, understanding how important it is to be friends in a relationship. Ladies, allow the men to pursue you. You're important enough to be pursued. Allow him to do that, to pursue you, to show you your worth, even at the point of dating. And when you meet someone, that's something, you know, you really want to look for, someone who is going to, even in dating, when he first meets you, show you that he's willing to treat you like he should and to show you how much he values you and to show you your worth. Because I think sometimes as women we have such a low self-esteem. We ourselves don't realize that we lack confidence in ourselves. And so then we lower our standards and we accept treatment that we should not accept. So even during your time of waiting, you know, go before God, find out who you are, allow him to heal broken places and to build up your confidence in him and to show you how beautiful and important you are to him. Because that husband, when he comes along, again, he's not going to be perfect. I do want to put that out there again. We can't, you know, he's not going to be perfect. However, he should still value you as the gift that he is. Because when a husband finds a wife, he obtains favor with the Lord, according to the Bible. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
You're
so
right.
So mm-hmm. Women, we are very important. We are very powerful in the home, and we're very important. So keep that in mind when you are in your process of waiting or dating. Did you have anything, babe?
Okay. I have a question.
Go ahead.
This is Shannon.
Go ahead, Shannon.
I have a question. My question is, because me and one of my friends, we had this conversation in regards to when you, I guess, fall in love or, you know, go to love your, not when you actually become married, but as you're dating, get into a relationship and all of that. In my mind, the love foundation needs to be, like, extremely strong, like strong, strong, strong. Then there also needs to be, I don't know what kind, maybe like a flirtatious love, I guess different types of love, you know, when you know this is your husband. In her mindset, she was saying, no, you don't have to have, like, I'm going to say, like, with the butterflies, or you don't never really have to have that at all. And to me, that's almost like an attraction. You know, that's like the surface level, just an attraction. And then
hopefully you guys can build a stronger foundation type love on top of that, you know, just the different levels. But in her mindset, I guess make a decision. You know, this man is good for me or whatever, and I love him, I care for him, and that's enough to get married. I disagree with that. I think it needs to be one of the attractions. You know, there go my boo, he look good, whatever. Then, you know, then with that initialness, you build a stronger love foundation, and then once that love has, you know, developed more, then you can, you know, maybe entertain the idea of, okay, this is actually may possibly be my husband or my wife. That's my, like, what, I guess my, that's a comment and a question in itself. Like, do you agree with that or no? Or, you know, what is your take on when people say they love each other or, you know, they're in love, but then they're not really all the way in love, but then they're going to make a mature decision to say, yes, I want this person as my, you know, long life partner.
Well, my opinion, and Kenny has something to say, from what I understand what you're saying, in my opinion, the butterflies and all of those, I wouldn't actually say that that's love. I would say that is an attraction, you know. Yes, emotional, sometimes even related to lust. you know, that's because when you first meet a person, at first it is an attraction, you know. Mm-hmm. Whether it's an attraction physically, you know, whether it's an attraction, you know, even if you're not attracted to them physically, it could be conversation. You know, you know, they could, you know, I wouldn't have picked him as far as his looks, but I like how we relate to each other. That attracts me, the way we relate to each other. But the love that we really want when we are talking about marriage is agape love. That's the love that we want. That's the love that we want to strive for, because that is the love that just love beyond everything, faults. You know, that's the type of love that God has. Now, we know we're not at the love of God. That's not what I'm trying to say here. But, you know, you want someone, that's the love that we strive for, that'll love you beyond your faults and all of those things. So that's really, that's my take on it. But from what I hear you saying, it's more like, you know, the attraction part. And maybe she feels as though, maybe she's at a point where that's not really important to her, whereas who it is. So that's my take on it, what you have to say.
Okay, from a male's perspective, right, I think it's very important, you know, that, you know, when you're going into a relationship and you're getting serious, you know, I think you should have your emotions should be tied into your relationship. Because if you're going in there and there's no emotion, you know, you don't have no intellect, there's no intellectual conversations, and you know, when that phone ring and you know that's your boo and you ain't getting excited, something wrong with that. Seriously, something wrong with that. And you know, even in that, I think it's also good when, you know, you have couples that get together and then they wind up being together for a while. And I'm talking, you know, they've been engaged for a year or so, and then they get married, and now they've been married for a few years. I think it is really awesome for, you know, for a man or a woman to re-pursue their husband, you know, because that keeps the flame going. That way the pile of light in the oven ain't going out, you know, because it keeps that happiness in a relationship. You know, I still play games with my wife where, you know, we all walk in the stove and, you know, we mess around and be separated, and I walk up on her and we role play. I'm like, baby girl, what's your name? You know, I still do that because it's good for you to feel that. And then it's emotion tied to it. And then, like I say, it keeps the excitement in the relationship. Where there's no excitement, chances are there's some issues there, underlying issues that either have not been discussed or have just come up and somebody's got offended and they haven't opened up and shared it. But I follow you too, you know, Shannon, because I'm telling you, you know, I love being able to re-pursue my wife and recapture her heart and for her to do the same thing to me. I like feeling wanted and needed. I like knowing that when I come home, you know, she excited to see me. So I'm with you on the emotion part.
All right. Well, thank you both.
You're welcome. Does anybody else have anything? That was a great question, though. Thank you. Thank
awesome
you for that.
Question.
That was an awesome question. Anybody else have anything to say in reference to?
I hope that's the icebreaker. Everybody's so wild.
Well, I was talking. I was hogging the line. Does anybody else have anything to say in reference to Shannon's question? Nobody? Okay. Well, I'll keep going with my notes then. Okay. So, we also talked about, you know, when we're in the process of waiting, when someone's in the process of waiting. Well, I want to talk to the women right now. Okay. I want to talk to the women right now. Last week we talked about, you know, the way we dress and those type of things. Women, do not compromise your self-respect to get a man, because we see that a lot. We see that on TV. We see that just in life. And that goes back to what I was saying, knowing how important we are. We do not have to compromise our self-respect. In other words, if you're trying to attract a man, you don't have to go around showing everything on your body to try to get a man, because that's not the type of man that you want to attract. You want to attract a respectable man, and respectable men are looking for respectable women. So even the way we carry ourselves, you know, this carries on into marriage. So when you're planning, when you're waiting, you know, when you're saying, God, I'm waiting on my husband, women start getting into the mindset of being a wife. So when you become a wife, how are you going to dress? How are you going to carry yourself? Now, of course, we know we need to look cute. You know, you got to look cute. But I'm just saying, just having everything just all out, just flaunting everything. I don't care who see it. And you know, a lot of women think that's how you get a man. But then they're attracting the wrong man, because the man that's coming to you for that is not who you want to marry, and 9 times out of 10, he's not going to marry anyway. But, you know, get into the mindset of being a wife, because even as wives, when we go out, how we carry ourselves is a representation of our husband and our families, and, you know, vice versa. But I'm just, again, talking to the women right now. So that's something else. Our language, dress, temperament, all of that are things that, you know, we have to be cautious of. Go ahead.
So, yeah, absolutely. I fully and wholeheartedly agree with you on that. But, you know, me speaking to the males, the male population, males, look, and I'm just going to keep it real, I'm going to keep it 100. When you're out there searching for your soulmate, the woman you're ready to spend the rest of your life with, if your conduct is not to a standard where she don't want her parents to meet you, chances are you might want to do a self-evaluation. So men, you know, a lot of men like to walk around with the chest all out, with the wife beater shirts on, you know, all oiled up trying to show off their little tattoos and stuff. Look, those days are long and gone. You do that stuff when you're young. When you get older, a woman should be able to see, a woman should be attracted to a man because of how he handles business. And what I mean by handling business is not in the bedroom. I'm talking about how he handles, you know, everyday living, how he carries himself during work, if he gets into an altercation, how he handles himself, how he handles other people. You know, I mean, women should be able to pursue a man based off of his characteristics. And I'm talking about, you know, physical and mental characteristics. If he's one that's short-tempered, that might be one you might want to rethink, you know, some things on, because, you know, and especially one that lied. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I first got my wife, I used to lie for no reason. And, yeah, I'm saying it on the air. I did. I used to lie. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be strong enough to admit that. But I used to lie like crazy for no reason. And then, you know, it took one day, you know, my wife kind of put me on blast, you know, and then I was like, yo, I'm going to have to get this together, you know, because if I'm a lie to her, then I steal from her. And my whole goal was to steal her heart. I wanted her to be mine. But I didn't want her to get to the point where she couldn't trust me. Because you got LTC, you know, not TLC. We're talking about love, trust, and commitment. Not tender, love, and care. Love, trust, and commitment. You got love, trust, and commitment, you can't go wrong. And that's all I got. Gentlemen, if you're listening, keep it 100 and make sure you reevaluate yourself. Here's my wife.
And maybe that goes along with some of the things that I had written down when you were saying, you know, watch how he handle business. When we are, you know, when you are dating someone or someone is pursuing you, like he said, watch how he handles it. Watch how he spends his money, and then watch how she spends her money. The commitment to the job. You know, not just how he handles himself on the job, but is he going to work? Because, women, if you are waiting on a husband, you want a husband that's going to go to work. You do not want a husband that is not, unless he is working from home and he is making, you want somebody that's going to, you know, so he needs to be working regardless, unless it's something keeping him from working. Unless it's something keeping him from working. Last week, Kenny brought up, watch how he treats his children, if he already has children. Watch how he treats your children if you already have children. So all of these things are important when we are in, you know, when you're in the process of waiting or to get married, you know, or dating someone in hopes that the relationship is going to go to another place. Communicate. What do you want and what do I want? If both of you are not on the same page, if you're saying, okay, I want to get married, but he's not wanting to get married, or, you know, then that's a problem. You're already unequally yoked. And then I'm going to say this one last thing, and then I'm going to open the line because we have another caller. Do not move out of desperation. And this is something that we see a lot of. Do not move out of desperation by looking at someone else. Well, all of my friends are getting married, so I want to be married.
Come on.
Well, and people can even listen to us now and be like, well, that's easy for y'all to say. Y'all are married. But no, that's why we can say it. Don't move out of desperation because we know what it takes to be married. And so don't do that because everybody else is going along, you know, everybody else is getting married. Some people are getting married because it's their appointed time. Some people are getting married and they're just in a wrong relationship, and 2 years down the line, it's just going to be disastrous. And that is not what you want because, again, we want to go into marriage to be married, not to get divorced. When we go in, when we move out of desperation in anything, desperation leads to just wrong results. When you are waiting to be married and preparing to be married and you move out of desperation, it will lead to wrong relationships and or wrong timing.
Amen.
And or wrong timing. And an example of moving out of desperation, even though it wasn't pertaining to marriage, but in the Bible, Sarah and Abraham, we know that God had promised them a son, that Sarah would bear a son, Isaac. But Sarah moved out of desperation, and she, you know, went to Abraham and told him to go ahead and sleep with Hagar, and she became pregnant. Hagar became pregnant with Ishmael. And what it just caused a big mess. Sarah became jealous, and it was just, you know, it was just a lot. So, again, let's not move out of desperation. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Pastor Michelle, are you there?
I am. How are you all?
Good.
That's good. That's good. I'm just listening. The topic tonight is marriage again.
Preparing for marriage, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just listening. I just called in. So sorry that I'm late.
I have a comment. Unless you were going to say something else, Quadrin.
No, I was just going to say thank you for calling and your line will be open, Pastor Michelle. Go ahead, Shannon.
I just wanted to kind of just comment on the whole desperation thing, because with me, I'll be 39 in a couple of months. That means I'm almost 40. And so when I turned 35, I don't know what went on in my brain, but I was like, I want to be married like this year. So apparently I put some kind of energy out there, and I just met a whole group of special men. I'll just say that. And they got on all my nerves. And I didn't date really the different men that I, the different guys that I met, we probably lasted maybe 30 to 60 days because it was just a mess. So when you said, I just basically want, like, if there's any other single women that are waiting to be married, when we do get into that desperate mode, it just leads, to me, it leads to destruction. Many times we just have to just continuously be patient. It's hard. I know it's hard. It's so hard. But we do have to, you know, be patient and just know that the process is intentional. It's an intentional process that we're going through. And many times I think that we're not ready. You know, like when I listen to a lot of, you know, stories of with some of my married friends and just different things that, you know, people come to me with, I know I had to grow a lot, a whole lot. And so many times that, you know, when we are in the waiting process, we just have to trust and believe that we are being prepared. And when we do move out of desperation, like, okay, like I have already said I wanted to be married by the time I'm 40, but I have really had to tell the Lord, God, if it don't happen, okay, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Because I know I don't want no mess. I'm not finna be out there where I'm 40 and it's got to happen in 2 months or whatever. No, 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 because I want greatness. I don't want no foolishness. I want greatness. So I just agree exactly with what you were saying, and I just wanted to just add a little, you know, note to that.
Nice, nice. That definitely was a good note to add to it, because I was going to say, you know, when you move out of desperation, then you fall into tribulation, and you don't want that, because I'm telling you, Lord, no. Look, and I'm going to tell y'all something. You know, I'm gonna keep it 100. My wife love watching LFM, Lifetime, Movie Network. She love watching. And you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, the dude sit down, you know what I'm saying? I sit down on the couch, and I be watching these movies too. And what I be looking at is Lifetime be trying to tell you. You know what I'm saying? Lifetime be trying to tell you, don't move out of desperation. Because this will happen. Mr. Right wind up being Mr. Wrong real quick. That's what I'm saying. Pay attention to him. Make sure, you know, you're following him and peaking game on his business. You know, if just peak game on him. You know, like I said before, it's very important that you know, men also do the exact same thing. You out there listening on the line, you listening on the phone, I highly suggest you also to make sure you're taking that time, you know, to see how she handles business, you know, see how her house is, see if she got good upkeeping on her house, you know what I'm saying, because contrary to popular belief, I seen a lot of beautiful women out there that come out the house beautiful, but their house is mm-hmm. tore up from the floor up.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure, man, you know, you're checking those things out, you know, and ladies, also, check a man's hygiene out, because, you know, sometimes, you know, they don't be 100 on their hygiene. And when they ain't 100 on their hygiene, you know, I ain't saying they got to have a different fragrance, you know, every time they come around you. But if he wearing Brute, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know Brute is highly flammable. Highly flammable. Hey, I'm just saying, be careful. You know what I'm saying? I'm just playing around. I'm sorry. Here's my wife. Let me get serious. I apologize.
Some people might like Brute tripping. So again, you know, so that was great. Thank you, you know, both for your comments. And when you are dating, we want to make sure we communicate about important principles and values. We know last week, Friday, we talked about compromising. Deacon Page, he was talking about compromising. So we know that we are going to compromise in marriages. But before you get married, again, whether you're dating or not, consider what are you willing to compromise on? What are the things that you're willing to compromise on? Last week, Faye, she brought up, you know, religious beliefs. Are you willing to compromise on religious beliefs? That's me. I'm not willing to compromise on that. That's something that my husband knows that. I'm not willing to compromise on that. Child rearing. Some people believe in spankings. Some people don't. Are you willing to compromise on that? You know, finances. Are you willing? Some people want to invest. Some people don't. What do you expect?
men, do you want a wife that wants to stay home, and then you meet a lady that says, I want to go out to work and I want my career? Are you guys willing to compromise on that? So those are different things that we have to take a look at. And I'm going to say this one thing, and then we have another caller. Even when you're looking at, you know, you're looking at the person that you're dating, look at their social life, okay? Where do they go? If you're not in the club scene anymore and this person is still going to the club, are you willing to compromise on that? I did it with Kenny. He was still going, but now I wouldn't do it. I'm sorry. I'm so over that. I don't need nobody still in the club. You know, so I said now. You know, is that something that you're willing to accept? You know, you at home, you in the bed by 9 o'clock, but he's still hanging out at 3. Is that okay? So, you know, just different things like that. We have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Ending in 2174.
Yes, hi, Pastor Claudia, this is Minister Phyllis. How you all doing?
Hey, Minister Phyllis, we're good. How you doing?
Hey there, Minister Phyllis.
I'm okay, a little under the weather, but I'm okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, we hope you feel better.
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Hey, your line will be open if you have anything to say on the topic tonight.
I was just listening in about compromising. I think that once that you are married or even in a relationship, there's no more compromising anymore. Either you're going to grow up and do what's right or either you're not. And if you're not willing to be that person that God has called you to be, you know, the best thing for you to do is just stay where you're at until you're ready to make a full commitment. Because once you are married, there is no such thing as compromising. And even when it comes down to the word of God, we have to be obedient to what the word tells us, even in marriages.
Thank you for your comment, Minister Phyllis. We thank you for that.
Can I please say something?
You can.
Praise the Lord, Minister Phyllis. I'm going to have to respectfully disagree. My husband and I, we compromise on a lot of things, like what's for dinner. He may want one thing and I may want another. We may compromise on we'll have this night or have half and half. I believe that all marriages are, you make the necessary changes, which is compromising with one another, not the word of God, but in everyday life. I may want a minivan and he may want a truck. We may compromise on a Suburban because it fits the needs of our family. So I believe that there is healthy compromising in a relationship.
This is Shannon. I agree with Pastor Michelle, but I just wanted the minister who was just speaking to elaborate, because I'm like, well, maybe I'm missing something. I'm single, and I just wanted to, if you would just elaborate a little bit more on when you say that compromising, I guess, has ended once you have made a commitment, you know, to be married. You know, what are you saying? Like, I just wanted you to elaborate a little bit more.
Are you there, Minister Phyllis?
Yes, I just came back on the line because my phone had hung up. Let me explain it this way. I guess everybody look at things in different perspectives, and compromising what I feel, you know, yes, you come together and agree on things, you know, and as Pastor Quangelin had stated earlier, you know, we must obey and do what the Bible tells us to do. Am I making any sense? Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
You are. I had hit mute. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, because I thought you all had faded it out. You know, I know, you know, it comes a time where you might have to compromise and stuff, and I've been a single parent too, and I fully understand, but I think, you know, once that you become married, you know, you and your husband, you know, you all together and make decisions. I mean, am I making any sense, woman of God? Hello?
Yes, ma'am, you are.
Okay. Because I have been a single parent and plus married as well, you know, and stuff, you know, and so, and I try, you know, just speaking from experience, I tried to do what was right, you know. And are you following me and what I'm saying?
Yeah, so basically you're just saying that you the husband and the wife will have to just come to an agreement.
Now, when you're single, that's different because, see, there's not a man in the house, and you don't have to make those decisions, you know, and stuff. Even, let me put it to you like that, that's just like when you have children. Each one of your children are going to be different. Am I not correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so, you know, even with your children, because all of my boys are grown and married, and each one of those, you know, they was different. And sometimes you have to compromise to reach one other because you don't want, you know, the devil to get a hold to them. So sometimes you have to go that extra mile. You know, am I making any sense, Pastor Quandela and Pastor Kenny?
Yes, we're following what you're saying, Minister Phyllis.
Yes, ma'am. I think you're probably saying the same thing what we were saying. You know, compromise and come into an agreement, and that's what we were.
That's just what we were. Woman of God, to understand what I was saying, you know, and stuff. Because, like I said, I have been a single parent. Matter of fact, I started having children when I was like 14 years old. So, you know, you have to, you know, compromise, you know, and stuff, and until God bless you with that mate, you know, and stuff, you know, you have to compromise, you know, make things, you know, right, and, you know, and to have peace in your home. Are you understanding me better, woman of God?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. You're so welcome.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Minister Phyllis. And thank you, Ms. Shannon and Pastor Michelle and everybody else making comments. I'm glad we're opening up and we're talking tonight. Praise the Lord. That's good. But here's what I want to ask on tonight. Prior to marriage, and I'm speaking to the women. What would you think, you know, when you're pursuing or there's a man pursuing you, what would be your biggest turnoff when you're in preparation for marriage? What would be your biggest turnoff? The lines are open. Praise the Lord.
I think the biggest turnoff is those ways because and I have to speak from experience, you know, when I got married, you know, and stuff, you know, I wasn't in the Lord like I am now. And, you know, the signs was there, but, you know, you don't take heed to those signs, you know, because you are, you know, pride was set in because it's such a big deal for somebody to marry you. But you see the signs there, but instead of you just saying, no, I'm not going to go into this, you go on anyhow, and then once you get into it, it's a different situation. Is that what you was asking for, Pastor Kenny?
Yes, ma'am. That's good. Thank you very much, Minister Phyllis. Do I have anyone else?
I think for me, it would be a lack of ambition or motivation. I think that's a huge turnoff to me.
Cheese and bread. That's good. That's good. Cheese and bread. I'm talking about you don't want no lazy man.
That is exactly right.
I like it. I'm feeling it. Thank you, Minister Phyllis.
Yeah.
Thank you,
and that is a good point, Pastor Kenny. You know, and so, you know, things in this day and times, you know, things are much different now. But I feel like this, once that you all are committed to each other, and, you know, with the way things are now, you know, maybe one of the other person, you know, might come home and say, you know, that they lost their job, and that's where the other person will come in. But as long as you got a good husband or wife that's hard working and they get up and go to work every day, I say stand by them. But if they're not bringing anything to the table, hey, you don't need it. So you can, and you know, I'm not going to say you can do bad by yourself. You can do better by yourself.
Come on, somebody. I'm feeling you, Minister Phyllis. I'm feeling you.
You don't need nobody.
Hey, that's real right there.
You don't need nobody breathing in your face at night. And he can't bring a loaf of bread. He can't pay the water bill or put some on the light bill.
Yeah, you're
all right. Mm-hmm. Hey, look at him. I'm about to put a praise on it. Do I have anyone else? Will that be enough?
I wanted to comment on that. I pretty much agree with everything. Don't like, or what is a big turn off for me, is depending on me for everything. Like, you just can't make any type of decision. Period. That is very irritating. And
yeah, it is.
You know, coming to me for everything.
Yes, it is.
You receive things, never offer any type of suggestion or input. Just, I got to figure everything out.
So you don't like nobody to be like, old girl on Coming to America. Whatever you like, I got you. I'm with you there. Hey, 100, you know what I'm saying? We seeing eye to eye on that thing right there. Because
mm-hmm.
I be tripping when I have to figure out what we're going to eat sometime. Like, babe, what you want to eat? I don't know. She say she don't know. Whatever you choose, honey. And then I choose it. She say, I don't want that. I'd be like, come on now.
Well, you
help a brother out. No, I'm talking about help a brother out.
Okay, I'm on that one. That's because we decide all week long when we cook what we're going to eat. So if we're eating out, we expect you all to decide. That's all.
That's
right. Amen. Amen.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm right. The pastor has spoken. I got the pastor.
But then at the same time, you can't complain once you get the food and say, I don't want that.
Say it. You better say it, brother.
I'm going to have to take up for Kenny because
my help.
They will come up there, and then when they'll be like, okay, well, we're going to go to the place. And then you'll be like, no, I don't want that. What is my name? Did you tell me to make the decision?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's why it's best to learn one another, you know, to see what they like and what they don't like.
But
and you know, hey, Deacon Page, that's my brother right up front. Look, we are waiting to get married, man. Y'all just have to know this about us women.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on our mood sometimes.
Yes,
so we might like,
right.
It might not be, you know, it just depends on the time of the month, the time of the week.
But at the same time, it depends on the mood of the man as well. Just because we don't have that natural physical thing going on, we still got
the
mind going on. We still got that going on too, man. So it goes both ways. It's just not a one. We just don't have the physical part
right.
To go through. But we got the mental part.
Yeah, I have to agree, because it do seem like you go through the same hormonal issue, baby.
Then we got to go through with y'all at the same time, because we feeling for long.
Come on, bro. That's what I'm talking about.
So we do have to learn how to compromise,
come to an agreement. something else that we want to, you know, you want to think about when you are in the process of waiting or you're dating, you know, preparing for marriage. What if things happen? Are you willing to stay? We know the marriage vows, you know, if they still say it, I don't know, for better or for worse. And we sometimes say those, you know, sometimes people say those things just as a formality, just because it's in there. But really, are we going into this for better or for worse? What if illness strikes, you know, disability, you know, for those of us where our husband's employed, you know, there are things that can happen while they're gone, things, that, you know, to us, to them, things that could happen when they're on the way to work. Disability, that was one of our issues, you know, dealing with infertility. You know, what if those things come up and you are a man that's always wanted a wife that, you know, could bear you children, but she can't. So these are things, you know, that you want to consider even before going into your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you'll be able to deal with those things? Now, again, we know that you cannot be, you know, prepared for everything. So, again, we're trying to just help be a little more prepared. And then you may think that you can't, and then when you get in, you may can. So we do know
that.
We still need to think about these things because sometimes things come up that we do not think about, but consider, and that can also cause, you know, breakdowns in marriages and divorces. Does anybody have anything to add or say?
You know, Pastor Quadrilon, that's where that communication line comes in at. You know, it's best to be open from the start. You know, in other words, you know, just, you know, be honest with each other, you know, and stuff. And then when that time comes, then you done already prepared yourself for that, you know, whenever things come up. And I think that once you take your marriage vow very seriously, because it's been so long for me. What is that, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Quadrilon, in sickness and in what is it, sickness and in death, and sickness and in health?
Sickness and in health.
What, yeah, And I think long as y'all have been together, and, you know, like you made the statement, you know, things like that, it's going to come up, you know, and that's why you really show your love to each other even the more when things like that happen, because I have seen so many marriages when things like that happen, when the person gets sick, the other person, you know, they don't want to stick in there and they walks away. And then time that, you know, they get back on their feet, here they come running back to them.
That's right. We do see that a lot, you know, and we just never know what's going to come up. We never know. I used to work with the Multiple Sclerosis Alliance with Society, and I had a few clients, you know, after they had been diagnosed, their marriages fell apart. You know, the spouses couldn't deal with everything that came up. And, you know, and so they divorced. And so that caused another form of isolation, you know, feeling of isolation, depression, rejection.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All sorts of things. And so, you know, that's something else that we, you know, suggest that is considered when you're, you know, when you're talking about preparing for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have anything else? Okay. During the wait, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think it depends on it. It goes a lot with what your mindset is when you go into this marriage. Are you going into this marriage out of a contract type deal, or I'm married now type deal, or are you going into this marriage because you love this actual person? Because, like you said, a lot of things are going to pop up in your marriage, depending on how long you stay married, that are not forecasted. So you can you can plan out your marriage, but that plan is not going to work because life takes place. And so then what type of marriage do you think your marriage is going to be? Because not all marriages, and I think I can vouch for some of us that have been married for a little while, not all marriages are garden of roses and stuff.
Right.
And meaning they're not perfect. There are some issues that you're going to go through in life because life happens.
Right.
So then if you work in those marriages and you put the time and the effort in those marriages, when those things pop up and you let that person know that you love them regardless if they can't have kids or if they get into a bad accident where you got to take care of them or whatever the case may be, I guarantee you, just to speak from my point of view, that marriage would be better than any other marriage out there. Because the amount of love that you would get from that person and the amount of love you would give that person and that person in feeling would be reciprocated back onto the other person. And so that would make your marriage a lot stronger than what it was. But again, that depends on how you go into the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right. The
mindset. And I just want to add, like when we were talking in the beginning of the call about love, you know, it can't be just the surface level, you know, with the emotional and, you know, the butterflies. I think that's necessary to keep the flame going. But then I think you have to have that, you know, as well as others, but to build that solid foundation, that true, genuine love, you know, for that other person. Because, you know, when you do get faced with life experiences, you know, whatever it may be, you're willing, you know, you want to, you know, help your spouse get through whatever it is that, you know, adverse moment of their life. You don't have an issue doing it, even though it is hard. And I just don't understand sometimes when people do get married. I'm like, okay, are you just lying or something? You know, when you're saying your vows, because it's so much. Those vows are really deep, you know, and I don't really think people really paying attention to what they're actually saying in the promise, because this is a promise that you're actually making before God. So when you make this promise before him, you need to be taking it serious. That's just how I feel. I would hope that whenever I do get married, he has to be serious. And, you know, I'm definitely certain that's the man that I know I should be marrying, because I think a lot of times people get married so premature that they don't have that solid foundation to be able to withstand when life really does go upside your head, because it's going to happen. It's just, that's just the way it is. So many, many times, whether it's fatal, you know, extreme stuff or whatever, something is going to happen that's going to test the absolute foundation of your marriage. So I think that was a very, very good comment. I just wanted to add.
Mm-hmm.
It was. And you're right, Shannon, when we do take our vows, we are, you know, promising, making a promise before God, and we're entering into a covenant with God. And so that is something else that, you know, we talked about that a little bit last week, but if we have anybody that's listening, again, that's something that you want to keep in mind when, you know, you are getting ready for marriage. It is a covenant, and it is serious. It's very serious. And when my husband was deployed, we were back in Fort Hood, and I never forget, there were a few people that said this to me. You know, they didn't understand how I maintained with my husband being gone. In other words, why I wasn't out having sex with anyone else. And the thing of it is because when I went into my marriage, I didn't go into my marriage based on sex. I went into my marriage because I love my husband, and I was committed, and I'm still committed to my husband. And so when that mentality, you know, do you get lonely? Of course we get lonely when our spouses are away.
That's,
you know,
right. That's
but
right.
Then you make a conscious decision not to put yourself in a predicament. You consciously decide to do that. No, I'm not going to, you know, put myself in a predicament. I'm not just going to start talking to a guy on the phone just to have some conversation just because I'm lonely. Because you understand that those type things can lead to something else. And so you make a conscious decision not to do that, because you go in with love and commitment.
Amen. That's good. You know, and the comments that are made on tonight are definitely, you know, they spot on. You know, and Shannon, I want to go back to what you said about, you know, conflict, how it may come up or things may come up that may cause a testing of the strength and the, you know, of your relationship. Does it have enough, you know, elasticity to bounce back from a tribulation or a trial that may come about? You know, and you know, I love the fact that I have someone, you know, in my life who's in my corner even when I make wrong decisions. You know, because ain't none of us perfect, you know. But, you know, no. I'm a firm believer that when life throws your limit, you know, when life throws your limits, you just take sugar and water and you make it some lemonade. You can make anything better, but you got to be able to bounce back. You got to have that resiliency, you know. And there have been some things, you know, over the past almost 15 years of marriage with my beautiful wife that we have encountered and we have gone through that have tested our relationship. But, you know, you put with us continuing to keep God first and continue to put God first in our life, you know, that is the key to what kept us, you know, firmly grounded and rooted in Him first, and then and firmly grounded and being rooted in our vows to one another and our commitment to one another. Because when you ain't committed no more, you know, you got to look at yourself and say, okay, is it me or is it the other person? You know, or I mean, what is it that causing the commitment to be gone or to dwindle away? So, you know, I must say again, great topic tonight, honey. And I'm just grateful to hear everybody's statements.
Thank you. And, you know, even when we're talking about things coming up, things changing, that's you know, that's something else. As we get older, you know, my husband looked at me last week. He was like, babe, we getting old. You know, your body begins to change. You don't have the energy you used to have. You know, things begin to change. You turn gray. You know, just certain things change. Things change. And so
yes,
even why? In that, you know, is that something when you're getting ready to go into a marriage, are you okay with the fact that, hey, you know, things may change. He might gain a little weight. You know, some things that went flabby might get a little flabby. You know, we might have started off, you know, having our intimate time four times a week, which we know that intimacy is more than, but you know what I'm saying, four times a week. But then by the time you got three kids and, you know, you'd be good to get one, two times a week. You know what I'm saying? So are you okay with
that?
That's
right.
Those are things that, you know, it's important for us to discuss. It's important to think about when you are going into a relationship or you know, depending on marriage, because it is important, because those type things do cause breakdowns.
Yes, right.
They do. I have thyroid problems, so, you know, it's not very likely that I'm going to get back down to 120 pounds. You know, like I used to be. Is my husband okay? You know, some people, you know, they don't. That's not what they you know wanted. Well, I'm not willing to deal with that or whatever. So, you know,
that's
just fine. Just things like that we have, you know, we have to think about. So during the wait, focus on God, focus on you.
Mm-hmm.
When we say you, what are you focusing on? Again, God first. Focus on you. Focus on your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on your goals,
mm-hmm.
talents, self-improvement, your confidence. Focus on things concerning you. Because sometimes God is pruning us when we are waiting for things, you know, regardless of what it is. Well, I know we're talking about marriage right now. So you could be in the wait, and God, you know, I think it's going back to Shannon, what you were saying, you know, a while ago. Sometimes there are some areas where people may not be ready. So, you know, focus on you. Allow God to do what He needs to do in you. He could be strengthening you to go through some things.
My husband and I were talking about this.
I told him, I said, you know, you've been an assignment for me, and I'm sure I've been an assignment for him. Not just, you know, he hasn't just been my spouse. I haven't just been his spouse. But we have been assignments for each other. And when I say that, I mean God created us for each other. He knew that He could deal with my issues that I came with, and I could deal with His issues, although it's been very hard, you know, for both of us. But
it's God has equipped us, even though there were times we didn't feel like we were equipped, but we were equipped. And, you know, people outside of our relationship, my mom, Pastor Michelle, you know, they had to let us know that we were equipped. You know, Deacon Bates,
mm-hmm.
we didn't, you know, but they knew that we were. And so not just a marriage, but we really are assignments. I was looking at this lady named Rain Speaks. You all should look her up. R-A-I-N-I-E Speaks. R-A-I-N-I-E Speaks. And she brought up something, you know, in marriages, we are to complement each other. It's a divine partnership. We are to help each other reach our destiny, destinies. So it's not just about, you know, oh, I just don't want to be alone, but there's a deeper purpose to marriage. So, again, you know, think on these things. During the wait, give back to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we can become so consumed with the things that we want or we feel like we're missing, and there's a whole world around us in need. So give back to somebody else. And then
remember this.
You do not just want a man or a woman. You know, some people are like, I want a man. No, you don't just want a man. You don't just want a woman. You want your husband or your wife.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's what you want. Your husband or your wife. And so this has been a great topic. Does anyone have anything else to say?
I would just like to end it with this, Pastor Kwajalein. You know, even in marriage, it's good to have a good support team with that husband and wife, because when things come up, you can depend on each other and pray for each other, you know, so that way, you know, you all can go through what you need to go through with.
That's right. That's right. That was a great point, Minister Phyllis, and I thank God for, you know, for the support team that Kenny and I have had and that we still have.
Oh, yes.
I thank God for that, because, you know, you guys have truly, truly been a blessing. You truly have.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything, babe? Anybody else have anything? Well, we do appreciate everyone for, again, we've already said this, but we're going to say it one more time. We do appreciate you guys again for coming on the line. And this has been a great topic. If you know anyone that needs to hear it, we ask that you please share it. We're going to go ahead and post it, go to our page. Please share it. Please tell other people, you know, about the show. We are believing God that we're going to increase in listeners, and I just believe that He's going to do it because He's powerful enough to just do it. Yes, He is.
Amen.
So we, guys, we love you guys, and you all have a wonderful, wonderful night.
Love you.
Love you all too. Good night.